could sing in this morning. You may be seated.
In the garden where he prayed on his knees, Father, let this cup pass from me. The blood dropped from his skin, revealing the pain within. What sorrow held my Savior on that day. I questioned what was in that bitter cup. What grail so ill could captivate the courage of my Lord? Then opening up my eyes, he pointed deep within, revealing that this bitter cup was filled with all my sin. He took my cup, he drank it up, and all the wrath that I deserved was taken by my Lord. The Father turned his back on the Son he loved so much that day when Jesus took my cup. As I watched him hang between the earth and sky, the guilt I felt was more than I could bear. Then tears dried away as I heard the life, the way, declaring it is finished, dead is paid. Reality now is coming into view. This child of God, this Holy One, was offering to me a jewel of beauty rare, priceless beyond compare. His gracious hands held to my lips this cup for me to share. He said, here's my cup, drink it up. Salvation's well is flowing free, receive what I have done. Here's my cup, drink it up. Just kneel beneath that rugged tree, forget yourself and trust in me. Now heaven is your destiny if you'll just drink my cup. His cup filled every longing of this dry and thirsty soul. One drink and now I'm singing, Jesus made me whole, made me whole. He took my cup, he drank it up, and all the wrath that I deserved was taken by my Lord. I took his cup, I drank it up. Salvation's well is flowing free, now heaven is my destiny. Once upon a rugged tree, Jesus took my
That you're saved. Let me hear an amen. 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 He took my cup. That's what we deserved, not the Savior. How could you refuse so great a salvation? How could you say no to the Savior that died, that bled and died for you? The only way to heaven through Jesus Christ, and He gave His life for you. He loves you. Psalm 100, please, if you turn there. Psalm 100. As you find that, would you stand to your feet, please? I know we've had you standing a few times here this morning. That's to keep you awake or to get some exercise in, whichever one you need more. Might be both, but either way, we'll stand in reverence for the Word of God as we read this passage this morning. Psalm 100, and we'll read all five verses of this psalm this morning. And I'll ask if you will help me with this, and I'll read the first verse, and you'd read the second, and so on. So I'll read the odd-numbered verses, you read the even-numbered verses, and we'll read through this. All right, Psalm 100, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." Would you read the next verse with me as well? Ready, begin. "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, that You are good. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your salvation. Thank You about this special morning, just thinking a little bit extra about You, singing about You. And Lord, what a blessed time that is. Please be with this message today and speak to hearts. Help the Word of God as it goes out and the messenger, but Lord, those listeners as well. We love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Appreciate that. Psalm 100, we're going to focus on one verse, or a couple verses really today. The Bible says in verse number 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing." Verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." When we come into God's presence, I want you to think about that today. Can you imagine walking into the presence of God? If Jesus Christ walked in this room and you got to go and spend time with the Savior, just you and Him, He came to talk with you, maybe came to go and meet at your house to have lunch, you probably would have cleaned better before you left, wouldn't you? I know we would as well. But Jesus said, "I want to come and spend time with you." Man, you'd clean like you've never cleaned before, I could imagine. You'd make a meal like you've never made before, and you'd be thinking the Savior's coming. His presence is coming to our house. What a special time that would be. Coming into God's presence. I want you to think about that today. In verse number 2, it says, "Come before His presence with singing." Coming into the presence of God. What a special thing that is. What do you see when you come into the presence of God? The Bible says in verse number 2, when you come into the presence of God, come before Him with singing. And then it says in verse number 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." It is undeniable when you enter into God's presence, you know that He is God. When Jesus Christ walked on this earth, whether they were saved or lost, they said there's something different about Him. No one spoke like Him. No one did miracles like Him. No one talked like He did. There's something special about Jesus when you come into His presence. And you say, "I know that He's God. I know that He's God." It's undeniable that when you come to the presence of God, you know He is God. Anyone can claim to be God, but there's only one true God today. That's the God that we serve. And when you come into His presence, there's no way but to come before His presence and say, "I know that you are God. He doesn't need us to exclaim it. He doesn't need a title from us. He is God either way. But when we come before him, we know that he is God. Number two, we see that it is he that hath made us. When you come into God's presence, you see who God is, but then you see who you are as well. When you come before God, you say, I know that is he that hath made us. Again, we're not an accident. There's no self-made person, but you know this, that we are made in the image and in the likeness of an almighty God. When you come before God, I'm made in his likeness. That's special, isn't it? I'm made in the image of the almighty God. We see God for who he is, but we see ourselves for who we are. And you see, it's he that hath made us, and we see, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I don't deserve to come into his presence. When I see who he is, then I see who I am. And then it continues on. It says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And it says this, we are his people. Aren't you thankful for that? As a child of God, we are his people. We're his people, a child of God. What a special title that is, isn't it? To be a child of God, to be a Christian, to be born again on your way to heaven. You could say it many different ways, but we are his people. It continues on to say we are the sheep, the Bible says, of his pasture. When we see who God is and we see who we are, and you think, but I'm his, and he's mine. He's my heavenly Father. I'm the sheep of his pasture. That he's my God. He's my heavenly Father. I'll get to be with him for all eternity. You see who you are, undeserving of that Savior. You see who you are. But then I want you to look down in verse number 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. How could you not? And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is what, church? He's what? He's good. God is good, isn't he? He's good all the time. I was waiting for someone to say that. Thank you for helping me with that. I needed that response. God is good, isn't he? Amen. He is good. When you see God for who he is and you see yourself for who you are, you see yourself as a child of God, of who you belong to, you say, but God is good. God is good. You may look around and think, but things aren't going great, but God is still good. And God is still on the throne, and God does nothing bad. He does nothing evil. The sin-cursed earth that we live in is not the fault of God. That's the fault of you and I, right? Any bad in this life is because of us, of our decisions, not because of God. Everything good in our life has come to us by the hand of the Almighty God, because he's good, isn't he? He's good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. That God is good. There are many places you can go in this world and see incredible sights. You could see the Grand Canyon. You could see Niagara Falls. You could see Yellowstone. Beautiful sights. You could see a sunset painted in the sky. But there's nothing as beautiful as being in the presence of God. There are many interesting and incredible people in this world. Smart, intelligent, funny, all that you could say. But there's no one like coming to the presence of God. There are many exciting things to do and activities and all the stuff of life. Fun, enjoyable, good things, nothing bad. But there's nothing like getting to spend time with God. Getting to be in the presence of God. I cannot do it justice today, but I want to preach to you a message about coming into the presence of God. I couldn't paint a picture great enough, but imagine the Savior in this room. Wouldn't you want to sit by him? I'd fight for that seat. I'd want to talk with him. I'd want to praise him. I'd want to thank him. I'd want to just be by him, just to listen. Man, just coming in the presence of God. I don't want to get spooky or weird this morning by any means, but when you open up the Word of God, you're coming into God's presence. You're coming to God's presence. You get to read the living Word of God that he wrote down and he gave for you. God wrote you a letter for you to read, and when you open it up, you get to read about God today. You get to come into God's presence. You may think, well, Jesus Christ isn't living right now. I can't walk with him and talk with him. Yes, you can. right here. You can open the very Word of God and read the words of life, the truth that God spills out His love to you. You get to come into God's presence every time you open up the Word of God. This is God's Word, not man's, right? Amen on that. This is God's words, not man's words. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. These are God's holy words. Every single word is. When you open up the Word of God, you're entering into the presence of God. What a precious place to be. When you come to the Lord in prayer, you bow your head, you go on your knees, you pray in your, on your pillow at night, maybe driving your car, going along your day, and you say, Dear Heavenly Father, entering the presence of God. The Bible says we can come boldly into His presence as a child of God, as a Christian, that you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You get to enter the presence of God through your prayer, to talk with Him. I love that song, And He Walks With Me, and He Talks With Me, and He Tells Me I Am His Own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. When you enter the house of God, you're entering into the presence of God. The Bible says here, come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. If I could spend time with anyone, it would be my wife. If I could go anywhere, do anything, we try to get away as much as we can. It's not a lot. And grandparents in town, thank the Lord, they take the kids every once in a while, and we get to go out together, and we enjoy it. Just peace and quiet for a few moments. We sit, we don't even talk, just want to hear the birds chirping, you know? I don't know, but I love spending time with my wife, and we plan things to do together and places to go and all kinds of things. But there's nothing like the Savior. There's nothing like getting to be with God. I love my children. We'll do anything for them. We enjoy our time together. We have fun and we plan things, all kinds of stuff. But there's nothing like coming before the presence of God. Christian, how often do we neglect our time with God? When we have the opening, the opportunity, it's an open invitation. Anytime, all the time that you can spend time with God. But how many times do we neglect to come into God's presence? How many times do we say, God, I'm too busy today? We live in a busy day, don't we? It is busy. I don't know about you, but you wake up and there are things to do and things on your mind, and there's more things to do than the light there is in the day and time there is to get it done. We have a busy life. Of all the meetings that you can plan in your day, there's nothing more important than your meeting with God. Of all the phone calls that you could take, you've been with someone and you're talking and they go, hold on a second, I've got to take this call. They'll interrupt and stop anything you're doing because they've got to take that call, right? Because it's important. But when God calls, when God speaks, how do we respond? Many today are running their car, spiritually speaking, on empty. Right? You could have the most beautiful car, paid the most amount of money for it, all the luxuries, all the horsepower, everything that a man would want, just to drive as fast as you can safely, right? Safely. You could have the most beautiful car sitting in the driveway without gas in it or plugged into electricity of some sort. Let me get there for a moment. I didn't write that in the notes. Let me add electricity in there. Until PG&E shut your power off, right? It's not going anywhere. It looks beautiful sitting there. But you can't use it if it's running on empty, right? I mean, you could try to push that car. How many Christians there are trying to push that car through life, spiritually speaking? Say, God, I don't know why it's not working. And we're pushing the car down the street. And God said, you need to spend time with me. God wants to fill up your cup. He wants to help you. He wants to fill you. He wants to use you. But how many times do we neglect coming to God's presence? I can guarantee if you are driving every week or so, you're going to the gas station and you have sticker shock as you go to the prices. And any of you like that, like you have to respond when you drive past the gas prices that are around. They're lower or higher. I think about it every time I pass by. I can't help it. It's built into my DNA. And you go by and there's times where I'm running on empty and I think, but I've got to get to church. There was one time and we were going back home and I thought, I think I was coming to church and I thought, man, I'm running on empty, but I'm not paying the price there. I was going to pay the price eventually, pushing it, but I wasn't paying that sticker price until I got to the gas station and God's mercy upon me and he got me there. But you fill it up. How long does that last you? Not a whole lot. How many times as Christians do we neglect our Bibles? We set it aside and say, God, tomorrow I'm going to spend time in your word. Next week, next Sunday I'll come around and I'm going to spend time in your word. Next month I'll get around there and we're running on empty, running on fumes, busy with the things of life, running on empty, doing it our own power because we're not coming into the presence of God. When you come into God's presence, you're coming into the presence of royalty. You get to stand before the King of Kings. You get to come before the Lord of Lords. You get to come before your Creator, your Savior, the beginning and the ending. You get to come before God when you come to talk to Him. Isn't that incredible? You get to come before God. But again, many times we think, nope, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe when things get right in my life, I'll get around to it eventually. Why don't we come to God's presence today? I want to encourage you. Too many times that the GPS of God's Word, the Holy Spirit, is pointing us here, and we think, no, but I know where else to go. I've got a better route to take. You ever done that? I know where to go, and all of a sudden you're off course, and you go, I don't think I really knew where I was going. After all, God's trying to direct you. He's trying to point you. He's trying to help you. But too many times we're getting off course. When you spend time with God, you get to know God better. You get to know God better. When you spend time with God, you get to know the power of God better, don't you? The power of God. When you get to spend time with the Lord, come into His presence, you get to be under the protection of God. Amen? When you get to spend time with God, you get to be in the will of God, in the presence of God. I want to give you a few thoughts today. I don't know how much of a mess it is, but a challenge. I was laying in bed the other night just thinking about being in God's presence. Thinking about spending time with God. When you pray, when you spend time with God and His Word, and you just open up your heart, God said, hey, I want to talk with you. He walks with me. He talks with me and tells me I am His own. God wants to be with you, child of God. He wants to spend time with you. But do you want to spend time with Him? Come into His presence. There's some action that's needed. It takes some time to set apart in your day. You make time for the things that you want to do, don't you? The things you really want to do, you get to them. Eventually, it may not be the time you want it, but you get to it. There's nothing better that we can do than spending time with God. It's a sacred place, isn't it? A sacred place. So you get to come before God. You get to open up your heart in prayer and spend time sharing your needs with God and listening to the voice of God. That's a sacred place to come before the King of Kings. It's a sweet place, isn't it? It's sweet. You ever just close your eyes, or as you're driving, don't close your eyes, and you just pray to the Lord, and you say, God, and don't do that. Sometimes the kids go, why aren't you closing your eyes? Because I'm driving. Do you want to live? You know, I believe in God's protection and guiding hand, but God also gave you some wisdom. Keep the hands on 10 and 2, right? But coming into God's presence, it's a sweet place. You say, God, I just need to share with you my heart today. I have some burdens today. I have some needs today. Guess what? God always wants to listen. God's never too busy for you. He doesn't say, hold on, I'm talking to someone else. You don't get the busy tone. You don't get that tone on the phone where you think, is someone there or not? Do I hang up or let it keep going? Am I going to get back in line somewhere? It's a sweet time where you speak to God and God speaks to you and God tells you how much He loves you and cares for you. It's a sweet place. That place with God, it's a solitary place where you have to get alone. That's a hard thing to do today, isn't it? To get alone. And to get alone alone is mean with nothing dinging or ringing or talking or whatever. You ever do that where you're home and you're talking and then all of a sudden something in your house is listening to you and responds and it's not a person? If that's not creepy, I don't know what is, all right? It's listening to us. I don't know if you knew that. They are. It's a solitary place to get alone, to turn everything off, to get alone with God. What does that mean? God, you're more important than anything else and anybody else going on right now. Solitary, to get alone. There's not too many places you can get alone today, but get alone with God. Even Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he went to get alone. He went up in the mountain to spend time with God in prayer. In that Garden of Gethsemane, he went alone and he went further and went to pray. It's a solitary place where you and you alone get alone with God. Not about anyone else or anything else, just you and God together. That place with God, it's a separating place. It separates you from this world, right? It separates you. It's a holy place separated from this world and your flesh and your thinking and the things of this life that tries to pollute our lives. And you say, God, I need a separating place. I need to get alone with God to get some things right. Isn't that a good place to be, to get some things right with God? That place with God, it's a surrendering place. It's a surrendering place, isn't it? Say, God, I surrender my will. I surrender my day. I surrender my life to whatever you want. You start the day as I do properly, and you think, I've got all the things to do. And it's all stacked up in your calendar, or your mind, or your sticky notes, or maybe if you're a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of person, whatever comes up next, and you put out that fire. But it's a surrendering place, and you say, God, my life is yours. My day is yours. My mind is yours. My hands are yours. My mouth is yours. My feet are yours. It's all yours, God. I surrender to you today and mean it. Don't come to God and tell him you surrender with your lips, but not with your heart and your mind, surrendering to God. I have quite a few other notes that I don't have to get to today. Don't amen on that point. There's a number of verses from the Word of God that talks about being in the presence of God. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. The Bible says the presence of the hills melted like wax in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, whither shall I flee from thy presence? The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Over and over in the Word of God, to be in the presence of God, what a special place it is to be. But I want to tell you lastly as we finish today about a place that God wants you to be for all eternity, in his presence in heaven. See, to be in church, it does not guarantee you a home in heaven. To look like a Christian doesn't guarantee you a home in heaven. It's only through believing in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There's too many people going into heaven with a hope-so salvation. I think so salvation. You know what? There's too many people trying to go to heaven today with their own way to heaven that's somehow better than God's way to heaven. You say, God has his way, but I have my own way. Guess what? There is no other way. There's no other way. God wants to be with you for all eternity. Turn to John chapter 14. We'll read a few verses and then we'll end the message today. But God wants you to be in his presence for all eternity. You don't go to heaven because you're born. You don't go to heaven just because Jesus Christ died for you. You go to heaven because you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, accepted him by faith as the only way to heaven. John chapter 14, verse number 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for, what's the next word? For you. He's preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God wants to be with you for all eternity. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no other way. You don't have your own way. No other church has their own way. Religion has their own way. No other race has their own way. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. Everyone's getting to heaven the exact same way. As a sinner, repenting before the Lord of my sin, asking for forgiveness, and trusting in Jesus Christ is my only way to heaven. He wants to be with you for all eternity. Do you want to be with him? If not, you'll be in the absence of God's presence. You'll be away from God for all eternity in a place called hell. God never intended that for you. God doesn't want anyone to go there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's up to you. It's a free will choice that you have. Do you know that you're saved? Do you want to be in the presence of God? What if that was today? What if that was when you leave this room? You never know. You never know what could come your way. Do you know that you'll be in the presence of God? Do you know that for sure? If you don't know it, today's the day. Heads bowed and eyes closed.